It's episode 204 of the HodgePodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
I'm Dirty A. This is Abby. We're here to talk about things.
Wow.
Sorry.
She completely broke your concentration.
She did. She did.
Lousy dog.
We know what we're talking about.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Knives Out, The Report, and The Irishman.
Should have been called Knives In.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe, or head over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. Yes, hello. Abby's trying to... Abby is a dog that acts like a cat. Box office, Frozen 2 is number one still over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, it's making mountains.
It's making, yeah, it's making bank. And
I think it was the highest grossing animated movie opening of all time.
Maybe.
I think I said.
Maybe. Well, but you got to remember, it opened last week. I mean, this is like it didn't open on Thanksgiving. It opened the week before.
Right.
So, Knives Out was number two. And that's actually doing pretty well. Like its first five,
yeah,
it made like $40 million or something like that.
Beating projections.
Yeah. And that's basically all that's going on, really. Was this episode of The Mandalorian better for you? Because
no.
You never saw those people before.
No.
You never saw those people before.
No. Too much of that goddamn little baby Yoda. That's just the biggest marketing ploy ever. All they want to do is going to sell some fresh little baby Yodas.
Merch. They had no merch ready for it.
I know. That's so stupid. Are they dumb?
Because they didn't want to spoil it, I guess.
Yeah, because that's what they've always worried about.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I highly doubt that is the reason.
They're making a 10-inch... Remember
that they spoiled the whole fact that Palpatine was the Emperor in the prequels? Like... They put the doll out, the little figure out, and
it was Dooku.
Dooku, yes,
Darth,
right.
Tyrannus,
yeah.
And the figure was Darth,
like, yeah,
Tyrannus.
Right, you sons of bitches.
And then the soundtrack for Phantom Menace said the death of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Right. So anyway, nothing's gonna make me love the Mandalorian. It's fine,
I like it.
Whatever.
I really like that episode too, because that was that was like an old fashioned Western.
Well, the whole thing.
I know it is, but I mean that was like you know, we gotta round up the wagons and stop these intruders. You know,
yeah.
It's like it was Blazing Saddles, except not as funny.
It definitely wasn't that. There were no beans.
And Baby Yoda's cute. You leave Baby Yoda alone. Baby Yoda's trending better than all the Democratic candidates for president. Baby Yoda's for president. He meets the age requirement. Watchmen, which I'm sure we'll be talking about very soon. Yeah, I watched it last. It was fucking nuts. It's crazy. So yeah, we'll definitely do an episode on Watchmen.
See that shit coming.
Yeah, we'll definitely do an episode on Watchmen when that finishes up. I think there's two episodes left.
Two episodes.
That's right around the time Star Wars comes out. We got our tickets for Star Wars. I got the new game, Fallen Order. Fallen Order. It's good. Some of the Jedi powers are a little... Learning to, like, do stuff is a little tedious. Like, you can run on the walls. I'm like, nah, he won't do it. I fall off. But it's good. It's a good game. Better than... for video game fans out there, better than Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding, which they should have called Weight Distribution, the game. It's really bizarre.
I know you don't know anything about video games,
but it's the most bizarre game ever. Guillermo del Toro.
More so than
it.
E.T.?
At least that had a point.
Did it though?
You gotta get some
Did
components
it?
To make the
Did
thing.
It though? Well, you don't know that that's what you had to do, because you could never get...
I think in the booklet they tell you that.
But I'm just saying, you assume that's what you have to do, but fuck if you know if that's what you have to do, because you walk right off the
what
screen.
Was what was worse was the Raiders of the Lost Ark game.
I know,
that was even crazier, where you had to figure out what you had to find and shit. No, no, Death Stranding is like I got it and I unwrapped
like
it.
Shooter tar- is it?
No,
like
no, 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 no. He Kojima's the guy who did Metal Gear.
Oh, so it's okay. One it's, of those fantasy sci-fi.
No, no, no. It's well, it's sci-fi. This one's that's definitely hardcore sci-fi. Them all on the same but it's board. Really, it's really bizarre. It's almost like sci-fi horror, but it's like, but like it's so like. Like the concept
Fallout
is
Fallout meets
no 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 because Fallout's fun. So, the concept is so opaque that you're just like I have no idea what's happening right now or what these people are talking about, and it's like going on and on and on. And basically, your character is a delivery man in this like far. He's the postman, I guess, and he has literally
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, literally, it's Norman Reedus from Walking Dead, and the graphics are amazing. Don't get me wrong, graphics are amazing, voice acting's good, and the story would be interesting if it were a movie. But when it's a game, when you're the delivery man, and what you have to do is carry packages to these things, and then like I had to carry a body at one point, and then you're leaning to the left, so you have to lean to the right, and lean. I'm like, it's weight distribution the game. I'm like, and then you have to make sure you pee. I'm like. Kojima, how about you
yeah,
just do?
You need to make sure you
how about you just make sure? How about you just do The Sims 5? Okay, just do that.
He didn't do Sims,
but clearly he wants to make that game. So I opened it up and then I played it a couple days. I was just like, nope. So I traded it in for Star Wars. I also traded in Outer Worlds too, which was good. I finished it, but it didn't really have a lot of replay value because there wasn't a lot of. It's not as expansive as Fallout. Or Skyrim, which is sad considering you have to go to different planets. So
I can't contribute.
I know. I'm just that's for our gamer fans out there. Let's talk about these movies. What do you want to talk about first? Knives Out? Or do you want to save that for last?
Sure. No, okay. Sure.
Knives Out. Knives Out is written and directed by Rian Johnson, or as he's known online, Ruin Johnson. Oh, dude. you got to go to the Collider comments. There's a guy in there that comments on every story about that guy.
Just one guy doesn't make that
It's more than one guy. But anyway, it's a bunch of butthurt Star Wars fans.
This is his leap from Star Wars.
Yeah, this is his first movie since he did The Last Jedi 2 years ago. And this movie, it's like an old-fashioned...
Whodunit.
Like in the vein of like Agatha Christie or something like that. And I think
they literally even reference like this is like a Clue house.
And it's got a fantastic cast. It's got an amazing cast. Christopher Plummer he's the victim, but he plays an author.
He's the patriarch.
He's the patriarch of the family. He's a famous author who has made millions and millions of dollars, and he's a mystery author. And his kids and everybody are Jamie Lee Curtis. And Michael Shannon, and then Toni Collette is his daughter-in-law, because his other son is dead.
Died in the war? Was it the war?
I forget where he died. Don Johnson.
I thought that would come more into play, but
Don Johnson plays Jamie Lee Curtis' husband. Yeah. Chris Evans plays their son. Ana de Armas plays his nurse.
Yeah.
And she's really like the main character of it. Her and Daniel Craig.
For sure.
And
as you mentioned, Daniel Craig who plays the detective.
He's like a Poirot type character.
But he's like in this case he's like the detective for hire. He's not officially on the case.
He's like Poirot.
Like a mercenary detective.
They called him the last of the gentleman sleuths.
Right.
Lakeith Stanfield's also in this. He's the actual cop. Who's running the case,
and his partner
I forget who plays
him.
But he's funny. You guys fans, I'm a big fan. The script is really whip smart. It's really it's great. The best parts are when they are showing all the family members talking to the cops and then juxtaposing what they're saying against what really happened. My favorite line from
or just how their version of the same event differs.
Right, yeah. My favorite line from the trailer is when Michael Shannon goes, "What? Richard said that?" it's really, really good. I don't really want to... You kind of have to go into spoilers.
They find
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer dead.
And it looks like a suicide. It looks
like an apparent suicide.
Yes.
But Daniel Craig is called in, basically.
Hired by someone unknown.
And anonymously stating this was not a suicide. And so the investigation then continues. Spirals off from there, that it could have been any one of these family members that was there. They had a party the night before, or the night of his death.
Yeah.
And so
it was his 85th birthday.
So they're all kind of suspects. And it's fun. It's a very entertaining movie.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd call it anything super special, but it was entertaining.
I mean, it's one of my favorites of the year. I don't know. I don't know
that'll make my top 10.
I think it will make my top 10.
We'll see.
It's a lot of fun.
It is fun, though. Fun. Don't get me wrong.
Chris Evans is great in this. Yeah. He really turns his image on.
You may be saying that also just because it's so different for him.
No. Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying, is because everyone's so used to him being Captain America. So now,
But I don't know that he did anything overly special here, other than he's not acting like Captain America. So
he's not being noble in
anything. That's literally what I just said. So you know, he's acting. He's an actor. We get it. He can do multiple things. But he's good. I thought they were all, the ensemble cast just brilliant. They play off each other really well.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any of them that don't work or don't fit in. I like Michael Shannon. I thought he was great.
The Nazi boy was in the bathroom.
That's Michael Shannon's son.
Yeah, Michael Shannon's Jaden.
He's basically this like a nationalist.
Yeah, he's like a Richard Spencer. He's like a Richard Spencer type guy.
But yeah, it's hard to really talk about any more of the plot in detail without giving things away. Needless to say, there's a surprise ending.
Oh yeah, there is. Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know what we can give away in this movie that, you know.
It's better to watch it and watch it unfold. Jaden Martell, he's the kid who Yeah, he was the kid who was in He was in St. Vincent. He's the kid from Midnight Special.
Yes.
He's the kid from Midnight Special, too.
Yeah, with Michael Shannon. Always son of Michael Shannon.
Catherine Langford is in this. Just a great, great, great cast. A lot of fun. Frank Oz makes an appearance in this.
That's right. Yeah, he sure
as the lawyer.
As a lawyer. Yeah. That was fun.
You're useless. Okay, great. He leaves. Okay, great. just a lot of fun. Definitely check it out.
The plot, given the way the movie is supposed to be, it's fine because it's supposed to be a little fantastical, like a whodunit, you know, but the plot's pretty convoluted when you get down to what really happened. I mean, it's very well, this had to happen to happen.
Yeah.
Like it had to be very specific and there's no way, you know, it's not something that can ever actually work out that way
because
it's just too many what ifs
and
things that rely on each other to happen.
Right.
But it's fun. And, you know, it's not one of those things that they give you the clues to really want you to figure out as you go along. They don't want you to know what's going on to the end.
No, yeah, they don't. They don't. Because they kind of tell
you. But that's fun. That's the fun.
They kind of tell you what happened in the middle.
Like, I was walking out and, you know, I got this asshole behind me talking to, like, you know, he's just some, like, I don't even know how old he was, but he's talking to the girls he came with trying to act all cool, like, yeah, I was figuring things out as it went along, and I pretty much had it figured out. I'm like, no, dude, nothing in that story let you figure out anything other than where they wanted you to go at that time.
Right, yeah.
And then they'd turn it, like, you didn't figure anything out other than when they wanted you to figure it out.
The only quibble I had with the plot was that,
should have been called Knobs In. Yeah.
No.
You're agreed.
No.
Agreed.
No, the only quibble I had with the plot was when
she disagrees.
Well, she didn't see the movie, so
you don't know that.
When Ana de Armas, I don't want to give anything away, but she could have told the cops that he killed himself, and it wouldn't have been a lie.
Sure.
And I don't know why she didn't do that. So, but that was the only quibble I had with the plot. Other than that, it was pretty good. It was very well written.
That was a good That was a good funny plot adding point where she couldn't lie. Basically,
oh yeah,
she can't lie. She has a problem with lying. She will vomit if she lies. So that was fun throughout.
Yeah,
because she's trying to kind of navigate how she can say certain things without lying to people.
Right. Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah, she was great in this, and I'm happy that she was in this because this will probably be more of a breakout for her than, unfortunately, Blade Runner ended up being, because Blade Runner didn't do any box office at all.
Did you see that they're going to do an anime?
I did see that, yeah. That's cool. That's what I said they should do when they did those shorts.
I'll never watch it.
I'll watch it for sure, because the world is awesome.
Anyway.
But no, she was great in Blade Runner, but that just didn't have the audience to make it.
I'm not sure, unfortunately, I'm not sure she'll be seen as shining in this with such a stacked, star-studded ensemble
cast. I think
she
will. I mean, she's the lead, basically. I mean, she's the main character.
I agree with you. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know that this is going to like give her a whole bunch of other roles.
Well, she's also in James Bond too. Yeah. So
that'll help. Billy Ocean doing the new James Bond song.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Is that real?
That is real. How weird is that shit?
Caribbean Bond.
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm like, what?
That's bizarre.
Anyway,
So definitely go see Knives Out. It's definitely worth your time. It's a lot of fun. The report.
Oh, the end
or not?
Yeah, real quick, the end of that movie. Uh-huh. I guess. I mean, this isn't really giving anything away. The other thing I couldn't figure out was she supposed to have grabbed the only knife in there that was fake, or was the idea that whole thing was made of?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because that would have really been a little much.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he did make the comment.
Yes, he did.
About the knives.
He did, yeah, he did.
And that's not really a...
Yeah.
Anyway.
The report. This is an Amazon Studios movie that was in theaters for like 2 weeks, and now it's on Prime. So if you're a Prime customer,
I saw that
it
came out early the night before, and I watched it like 11 p.m.
Man.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. Adam Driver is the main character in this. He plays...
Man, I'm so sorry for that guy.
Yeah, he plays Dan Jones, who... worked for Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein,
California Senator,
who was played by Annette Bening in this, and she does a great job. And he was basically tasked with finding out what the CIA was hiding about the torture program that was going on under Bush and Cheney. And John Hamm is also in this. He plays. He plays basically, I think he was a chief of staff of Senator Daschle
initially,
and then he ends up being chief of staff for Obama later, which is his second term, when he has his bigger moments. Yes, yeah. But it's really all Adam Driver in this, and it's a crazy cast. I mean, so many people show up in this. You're like, oh, hey, that guy, hey, that guy, hey, her, that's cool.
Yeah.
And this movie, just like anything else that has to do with, you know, like the recent Adam McKay movies and everything like that, will make you so fucking angry. Basically what...
For a hot minute, and then you'll forget again. Just like we did when it happened.
Yeah.
No one seems to really care.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
But this isn't... I mean, it reminded me of Zero Dark Thirty, only in that...
Which is funny, given that it references it in there.
It is,
being the exact opposite of what it's trying to produce.
Because Zero Dark Thirty... was a dramatization, but it felt like it was a documentary. This is the same kind of thing. Right. That's what I mean by
this.
That
is not a documentary by any means. No. But it is based on true event narrative.
Yeah.
Kind of
and thing. And I believe it's based on the report, or is it based on the report, isn't it? Or what they released? And also interviews and stuff. And basically What it all boils down to is, for me at least, is that these two fucking charlatans came in there and got the government to pay them a shit ton of money.
Yeah, they basically were retired, recently retired military psychologists who, once 9/11 struck, they don't really go into the details of these guys, by the way.
Right. You just pick up on that as it goes. Right.
But these recently... retired psychologists for the military, after 9/11 happens, they decide they can make some big money real fast by being consultants for the military and how they
do the CIA.
For the CIA and how they do interrogation tactics.
And they, that's it.
And they literally know nothing.
They know nothing.
They basically implemented things that were, the report will later show you that that were shown to be ineffective as early as the 1970s.
Yeah.
The CIA had already deemed these things ineffective.
Yeah.
And yet somehow.
But they were so desperate. Back. They were so desperate
any,
to cover.
Any new change.
The CIA was so desperate to cover their ass
because
of the intelligence failures of 9/11 that they grabbed onto anything. And then these fucking two idiots came in there and were basically acting like they were these fucking experts. And all this shit happened because of these two fucking idiots.
And you got, it's so dumb that you've got agencies like the CIA and the FBI who are tasked with the same thing, essentially.
Yeah.
But they're fighting against each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't read it, I'm not going to lie. Skimmed an article the other day that talked about how there was, an FBI agent who basically said if the CIA hadn't withheld information, he could have stopped 9/11. He had enough information that he could have, he knew enough, but the CIA was withholding information, and that's how the attacks happened. Wow. And like that kind of shit. So like, why are you working against each other?
Yeah.
Why is our own government working against each other?
Well, I mean, this also goes back to, I would say, Robert De Niro's movie, The Good Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of shows that culture that developed.
And Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon. And that culture that developed at the CIA, don't trust anybody. Yep, don't trust anybody. Everything's a secret.
And they did that really well. Another movie that did that really well. I can't remember the name of it. But it had I think it was Ryan Phillippe and I can't think of the guy's name because he's not like a super big actor, but he basically plays like an FBI agent who goes rogue. But he's like super, he's known as super straight laced by the books. Anyway, I guess it doesn't
matter. Cruel Intentions?
No, that's not the one. Or maybe we'll look it up later. I'll have to look it up later. Maybe it was Justin Timberlake, but no, it's definitely Ryan Phillippe.
That's an ABC show, Secrets and Lies.
It's called like, it's got like a the something. Like it's The Informant or whatever, but I can't think of what it is.
It's not The Lincoln Lawyer.
No. Maybe I'm wrong. It's not Ryan Phillippe.
The Bang Bang Club?
No. I'll look it up later. Anyway. Okay. I hate that I bring that up and then immediately don't know the name of the movie. But anyway, the your point stands, right? They're so secret that they got to be secret about everything,
right?
You know, even outside of themselves, right. Including our own government. And right. To an extent, that makes sense. You know, sometimes you gotta keep things close to the vest when you're trying to, you know, infiltrate terrorist groups and stuff. But come on, I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, so this movie is about. Dan Jones,
Adam Driver,
who creates this. It's basically like a 7,000 page report that then gets boiled down to like 500 pages, and then is completely redacted by the time it hits the public.
Yeah.
And in the report, it basically spells out that not only were these torture called EITs enhanced interrogation tactics. Not only did they produce zero credible information,
right?
But on over half the people they were used on, they weren't terrorists at all.
Yeah,
like so they were just torturing anyone they could, anyone that was who had a whiff of anything that they thought at the time was terrorism. Which basically, I'm sorry, but at the time meant, oh, you happen to be Muslim.
Yeah.
You got shipped off and tortured for no reason.
Yeah.
And the more in the movie, the more someone's tortured and doesn't say anything, the psychologists just start backpedaling their own story. They're like, oh, well, now we've learned that this guy lies.
Yeah.
And then the person's like,
hated those two guys so much.
Well, now we've learned that this guy's going to lie. And then someone brings up a point. But the whole point of your techniques is that they're supposed to force the truth out of people. Yeah. And the truth is, these guys lie. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, how does this shit not blow up in your faces? Like, I don't, it's just ridiculous.
And it's like I said, I mean, you had CIA agents who were so desperate to glom onto anything that might help them restore their credibility, I guess, that it was a fucking mess.
To me, I know that the movie, you know, I don't know the true events, but to me, the movie definitely spelled out the fact that these guys had an agenda to make money, and that was
it. Oh, yeah. One scene with them on the plane.
These assholes, all they cared about was making money. They ended up making like $80 million or some bullshit.
Yeah.
From us, the taxpayers.
Yeah. So congratulations
for these techniques that not only did not work, but they were never psychologically proven at all.
Yeah.
There's
science.
And no studies ever back them. I don't know how they got as far as they did without any studies backing them. They just kept saying the words, this is scientifically proven, but never giving the any source material.
Yeah.
It was so infuriating that this can pass muster it through any government agency to get done, but the idea here is that everything was happening so quick that they were just all ideas went through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
Like, if these guys had done this, tried to do this with anyone other than like Cheney in command, half the shit would have never gotten done.
Because I think they say that Bush didn't even find out about it until 2006.
Right.
And he was practically out the fucking door.
It was the only person in the White House any of these people talked to was Cheney. And Cheney was going to green light fucking anything.
Right, yeah.
Especially if it had anything to do with, you know, increasing stock for his Halliburton.
Yeah.
And his other mercenary groups that were out there hunting these guys.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just so frustrating. Like, it's a very A to B to Z story. I mean, there's no plot twist or anything, because this is just a documentary style, like you said. Right. But it's done really well, and it's done really well. It just gets under your skin.
Oh, well, yeah, because that's the subject matter. I mean,
it's kind of like, you know, the Adam McKay's last Cheney.
Yeah, Vice.
Vice. You know, done really well, but it gets under your skin.
Yeah.
Just knowing that any part of this is true.
Yeah.
And this is actually kind of a nice little companion to that.
It is, actually, yeah.
Showing the other side of what was going on at the time. And you know, I think, like you already mentioned, Annette Bening did a real good job of playing a senator who had to figure out when she had to play politics and when she could let the dogs out.
Right.
Which had to be frustrating for her.
Yeah.
I mean, because she knew so much.
Yeah.
But she knew she couldn't just release this document.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that, like I said, it's basically 7,000 pages. It got boiled down to 400 or 500, and then almost completely all of that's redacted. Even though false names were used.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything got redacted. And then they had to go through a process of trying to convince these people to unredact things.
Yeah.
It's just all so fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And the other piece we kind of jumped out of is, so Dan Jones, initially, he got like 6 or 7 people to work with him, and it was a bipartisan group.
Right.
You had like 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans
working with him, and then he headed up.
And by the end of it, the Republicans had pulled themselves from the table, and it was just him and
two other people,
and then even they were leaving.
Yeah.
And
the woman left, and then the guy stayed with him pretty much to the end.
Yeah. But. So it was, but you know, I don't want to sell their contribution short, but it was like a one man show. Dan Jones did all the legwork for this report. And by the way, there was no help from the CIA.
Yeah.
They shut him down. Everything he worked from was from old emails on servers that he had access to.
Right.
And then they tried to... They tried to discredit him by saying that he stole and broke into the CIA's computers.
Right.
To which, in turn, they go and break into the fucking Congress's computers.
It's
all so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And nothing... The fact that nothing ever came of any of this is just mind-blowing.
Oh, I know. Fucking Buffalo Bill, man.
Fucking Buffalo Bill.
He'd fuck him. But yeah, check out the report if you've got Amazon Prime.
Definitely, it's so worth seeing.
It is very dry, I will say that, but it's very well done, well done, and like we said, frustrating and fucking sickening.
But it's like I don't, and I speak for myself here. I don't understand the mentality, and I believe I probably have the mentality of most people where I'm so frustrated, but then what can I do?
Exactly.
So I'm just going to sit here and be frustrated and know that that happened and will probably happen again. And nothing is going to change. It's like nothing changes.
Yep.
Like, it literally, this came down to two men wanting to make money, because otherwise they already had interrogation techniques that were working.
Yeah.
They even showed that working.
Yeah.
They showed the direct spin of interrogation techniques that were working, i.e. just talking to the person.
Yeah.
And then spinning that straight into torture, where the guy didn't say a word.
Right.
So it was pretty frustrating. Yeah, it was funny to see people pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of
Michael C. Famous. Hall shows up.
Yeah, Michael C. Hall's in it. Tim Blake Nelson shows up.
Yeah.
What's his face? Ben McKenzie.
Yeah,
he's in it briefly. More Tierney's in this. Just a lot of. A lot of people pop up in this.
And you know, again, the story is told, I feel like the story is told in a bipartisan way. It can't be completely bipartisan in that, I'm sorry, but the fucking Republicans were the main cause of this
kind of
shit.
Yeah, they're the ones who signed up on it.
So I'm not going to sit here and say it's like even-handed blame, because it's not. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
But it is bipartisan in that they even spotlight on Obama
a little bit,
and how he had chances to stop this, but he wouldn't for political reasons, because he had just gotten reelected, by these people that were
because they found Bin Laden,
he would then be discrediting the group that had just found Bin Laden, which got him reelected,
right?
Not solely, but
right,
had a
hand in it,
big part in it, so they. They spread around the guilt of this happening.
Yeah, they
do. But it was a conservative movement. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
It may have started by these two conservative assholes that were psychologists that didn't give a shit who they torture. But it was definitely a Republican conservative mentality that allowed this to keep going as long as it did.
Right.
Look how long it went on.
Yeah, I know.
And all throughout, there were reports of this shit not working and going on, and no one cared. I mean, it was even getting out to the public. I even remember back then. You know, I remember all the controversy around, EITs and waterboarding. Yeah. No. And there is truth to, it's not so much that we don't care, but what can we do?
Right.
We're so far removed from that. And, when the only recourse is, wait till the next election and...
Yeah.
That's not the way it works, because you're not electing the people that have the say in this shit.
Yeah,
you know, we have no direct say in who's appointed to the CIA, nor do we know at the time, the shit that's going to cause someone to choose that appointee.
Yeah,
it's all so frustrating.
Yeah. So see the report.
Yeah,
thumbs up.
The feel good movie of the year.
Now let's spend at least. Hour and 45 minutes talking about The Irishman.
Oh, right.
That's half the time.
God damn, that's a long
movie. It is a long movie. The Irishman, or also known as I Hear You Paint Houses, which is what...
I also do contractor work.
Did he say that?
He says that at one point, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what the book was called. I hear you paint.
I heard you paint houses. Oh, that makes sense.
That's what the book.
I didn't
that's
know this was based
called.
On a book.
Yeah, it's based on a book. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Irishman.
That's a better title. I like.
I heard you paint. Well, yeah, because they probably figured that, that the no one's gonna know what the hell that is.
Right.
I mean, the Irishman's easier to sell.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yes. The Irishman is about a guy,
3.5 hours long.
It is about 3.5 hours long. It's Martin Scorsese's new movie. It was in theaters for about a month, and
spoiler alert, it's about the mob.
It was in the theaters for about a month, and then now it's on Netflix.
Netflix is where it belongs.
Yeah,
like, it's so long.
Yeah,
to sit through theater through 3.5 hours of this could be considered torture.
Yeah, nice. It's based on the book by Charles Brandt, and Steve Zalian wrote the screenplay. The story focuses on Frank Sheeran, who's played by Robert De Niro, who was a mob hitman who told people, apparently, or revealed, I guess, before he died or whatever, that he was the person who killed Jimmy Hoffa. And so...
It's the story of him rising through the ranks,
right? But
I mean, that's like half of it is him rising through the ranks, and then the other half is solely based on his relationship.
He has two primary friendships in this movie. The first one is with Russell Bufalino, who's played by Joe Pesci, who does a great job in this. Joe Pesci, you think you know what you're getting with Joe Pesci, and he is the exact opposite.
He really knew how to tone it down.
Yeah.
He wasn't the, you think I'm a clown?
He's not that guy. Yeah,
he
wasn't.
Very subdued.
He wasn't his character from Casino. He wasn't his character from Goodfellas.
He was very good. He was my cousin Vinny. No, wait.
No, he wasn't that guy either.
No, he's good. And the Bufalino, by the way, that's a crime family. That's one of the, that was back, one of the big crime families. Back then, I think Chicago, right? Wasn't this based in Chicago?
I think maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah, anyway.
And then the other friend that Sheeran has is Jimmy Hoffa, who's played by Al Pacino, who is also great in this, and also tones down his crazier tendencies in this movie. The big selling point on this movie is that Scorsese utilized the de-aging technology that they use in Marvel movies and stuff like that, on his three main cast members.
Don't even notice.
As you do sometimes. There were a couple times when I was like, that didn't look good. But overall, they did an excellent job. Yeah. Overall, they did an excellent job. And
it's very interesting the way the whole dynamic works, too. Because, he's introduced to Bufalino by Jimmy Hoffa. And that's kind of how that relationship works.
No, he wasn't. No, he was introduced to Bufalino by Ray Romano.
You're right.
Ray Romano was the union lawyer. But he met Bufalino prior to that, but they didn't exchange names. He didn't get his name.
You're right.
So basically, this movie charts Sheeran's life and how he was a truck driver, a union truck driver. And then he slowly gets pulled into the world of organized crime, and it charts basically his life and how his rise. He becomes a major player in the union.
No, that's Goodfellas. Oh wait,
he becomes a major player in the unions. And again, he's really good friends with Bufalino. He's really good friends with Hoffa. And then what happens is when those two come into conflict, Sheeran is kind of caught in the middle.
Right. So for the majority of the movie, those two, their interests align. So they're more or less, we'll call them friends because their interests align. But as soon as there's a divergence between the Bufalino and Hoffa's interests, basically you got to choose sides.
Right.
And you choose the side of power. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're either going to go down with the ship, or you're going to,
get whacked.
Yeah.
So
that's going down with the ship.
Oh, okay. I thought going down with the ship was going down with the ship. So, it is very, very long.
It's a tedious movie. But it's well done. It's masterclass, done. It's Scorsese at his best.
Right.
But it's still the same shit we've seen in Goodfellas and Casino.
Yeah, it's not... yes and no, because it is a different
story.
Well, of course,
I'm not saying it's the same story. I know, of course.
But it's...
And it is interesting to see this... I don't want to call it a true story. You know, we don't...
Yeah,
but
it's, you know, it's
interesting
like,
to see that these are real characters.
Yeah,
that to some degree, this is how a lot of this played out.
Yeah, and to some degree, it reminds me a little bit of Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, where it's like it was a quote unquote two true story,
blending the idea of it being a true
from
story
from Chuck Barris's point of view
the mind of whoever wrote it.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. I mean, is that true? Was the book written as a biography of this guy saying that this is what happened?
I think so, but I have to check. Hang on a second. Pull up the...
Because if you're not familiar with today, we, as a public, we still don't know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. Like, that was a big deal. I remember back in the 80s, that being, you know, huge deal, still. Like, what happened to Jimmy Hoffa? And there were lots of jokes about it, and, you know, he's got his cement boots on at the bottom of the river and all that.
He's buried under Giant Stadium.
Yeah. So
in fact when they destroyed the Meadowlands, people were like, we're gonna find Jimmy Hoffa. Yeah. And like they're like, oh no, Jimmy Hoffa.
So it's
a nonfiction book. It's a nonfiction book. It's about Frank the Irishman Sheeran and closing the case on Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay. So it is his version of what actually happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's interesting and it's certainly plausible. I mean, you know, it's as plausible as anything else that could have happened to him. Jimmy Hoffa by the end had so many enemies, including the government.
Yeah.
It could have been anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it boils down to that.
Yeah.
But this paints the picture of it basically. A hit was put on him by the Buffalino crime family, Buffalino himself.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. I mean, again, this is it's Scorsese doing a mob picture, so this again is a very A to B story. I mean, you know, it just tells a linear narrative for the most part. I mean, it's got flashbacks.
No, it jumps back and forth.
But I mean, in terms of the story, it doesn't like take you on any kind of weird rides. It's just this guy's path.
Right.
Which is what Scorsese always does the best, right? So I'm not knocking him.
That's just Scorsese's style.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not knocking him for his style.
For movies like this.
You know what? I guess this just wasn't cinema to me.
I mean, because you got Goodfellas.
I swear he did that just to promote this movie.
You got Goodfellas. You've got Casino. You've got Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Which is...
Even The Departed. It's a little different, but it's a crime
organization. See, I wouldn't go that far.
It definitely takes a different narrative.
I wouldn't go that far with The Departed because The Departed is a remake. It's a remake of another movie.
Okay.
Is it a Korean movie or is it a? It's an Asian movie. I can't remember if it's Korean or if it's Chinese.
Oh, you're right.
Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, Infernal Affairs.
Affairs. It's a remake of that.
But this is Scorsese at his best, for sure.
Yeah.
But I still found it a little tedious and boring.
Mm.
I don't know. And I'm in the minority there. But I recognize the masterfulness of this. I just felt it was a little boring.
Yeah, for me, I liked it a lot. I thought everything, like you said, everything was masterclass. Everything was great. The cast is fantastic.
By the way, the acting, unmeasured. It's just so good.
It's the best work Pacino and De Niro have done in years, basically.
Yeah, well, that doesn't take a lot, but yes.
Well, true, but I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, did you see Righteous Kill?
Well, I own Righteous Kill.
You own it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I bought it before I watched it.
Movie's terrible.
So bad.
The movie is
terrible. I mean, so bad.
The movie's so bad.
Yeah.
But
you said Pacino and the De Niro, but also again Pesci. I mean,
yeah,
all of them.
Well, because Pesci was basically retired. Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's like you can't really say the same. I mean, what was his last movie? fishing trip or whatever the hell it was with him and
Gone Fishing or something.
Gone Fishing with him and Danny Glover. Yeah. But you know, for me it's really, really good. It will probably make my top 10, but it's not the best movie of the year
by far. No.
That's still Parasite for me. Parasite is still better.
Amazing.
And it's because of some of the things, some of the reasons that you said, you know, this, you know, this is Scorsese at his best, but it is a Scorsese movie and it's very much his style and it's very much,
you know, exactly what to expect when you watch it. You know, it's the same beats. He doesn't diverge much.
Yeah.
I'll be interesting to see if this one makes my top 10. We'll see. I don't know. I never know until I start looking at the list and doing what I've actually seen. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so long. I mean, I started it like fucking, I'm not kidding, like 8 in the morning.
Oh,
I got up and started this shit.
Because
I wasn't working.
Right.
And, you know, it was after 1 before I finished it.
I just had my mistake was I watched the report and then I watched this.
Oh, that was a mistake.
And it was late. It was getting late. And I was like,
no. I think maybe you just liked it because maybe you were fucking like high on something by that point.
On mescaline.
Yeah. Wow. No, don't do that. You can't watch this back to back with anything. It is literally two movies.
I am doing it.
You know, I will say this, though, because I thought about this afterwards. It's so long, I'd be hard-pressed to find a scene that I could really cut out of it that would shorten it and make it more palpable.
But you need all that to build
I mean,
the relationships.
It was necessary. It really was. But, you know, now the controversy now is that the lack of women... that he had in the movie, and even the ones he had, the lack of actual lines of dialogue that they had. I could fall on both sides of that argument. You know, happens to be one of those stories where you're talking about the mob in the 60s and 70s and the Teamsters. Not a lot of women.
Yeah.
Just the story it's trying to tell doesn't lend itself to a lot of women that are going to be impactful to the story.
That's true. I mean, and you can't really levy that on Scorsese when you look at it. The past films he's made, Goodfellas had a Lorraine Bracco.
Oh, sure. I don't think this was like him trying to be like a chauvinist or anything.
No. But I mean, I know you don't think that, but some people might.
Right.
Casino had Sharon. I mean, Sharon Stone got nominated for an Oscar. I think didn't she for that movie?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Wolf of Wall Street recently had Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
This is just the kind of story you're
beating the wrong drum.
If that's
your point.
Yeah.
But there is definitely like a lack of women in this movie.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, in like, you know, the most notable one is Anna Paquin. She plays the wife.
No.
Sorry, the daughter of Robert De Niro, who...
One of his daughters.
One of his daughters, who basically disowns him.
Yeah.
By the end of the...
By
the middle of the movie, because
she pieces together what his job is.
She basically understood what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, basically, she was kind of entranced by Jimmy Hoffa and his enthusiasm and what he was trying to do for the working man. She kind of got behind that.
Well, she was like, he was like her Uncle Jimmy, basically.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is the reason she was his Uncle Jimmy was because she liked that enthusiasm, because Buffalino tried to be her uncle too.
Yeah.
But she just found him creepy. She felt him creepy and cold.
Yeah.
She definitely fell on the side of the friend's fence of Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
And when he was killed, and it was pretty, you know,
obvious to her
at least how it happened.
Yeah.
She basically disowned her dad and didn't want to talk to him ever again. And but it's a good thing, because she didn't have many lines in this movie is what I was getting at.
Yeah,
so
yeah. She has about 5 lines in this movie.
I think it was like, oh, bye dad. Hey dad. No dad. I mean, it was pretty like, why is she even in this movie?
Yeah.
But anyway. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. I didn't like it near as much as you, and I think a lot of other people that find it like top echelon, but it's definitely good. There's the acting for sure. is awesome. It was great to see these guys again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you can say whatever you want, but fucking, it's clear that Pacino hasn't missed a step.
Yeah.
In his enthusiasm that he emotes on screen. You know, De Niro's De Niro.
Yeah.
He'll just do that deadpan thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I hate to say it's hardly acting, but, you know, all he does is got to get on the screen and say some lines like this. Like, just like this.
Pacino has the flashier role.
Well, not even that, but in any role he has.
Right, yeah.
He always finds a way to bring a little something extra to it.
Because she's got a great ass! Yeah. And now your head is right up it!
And that's not always, like you were kind of saying, that's not always De Niro's fault.
Because
he's given these roles that are basically supposed to be very stoic.
Yeah.
Stone-faced men. But Pacino, for me, is just where it's at. And Pesci, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, he actually brought a little more stoicism to his role this time.
Yeah.
That he didn't have, which was wonderful to see.
Because he was like the the first one.
Oh.
Just got an email for a Cats screening.
No.
God, no. No, but Pesci was like, he was like the puppet master, basically, of you know, the crime family and stuff like that. Nobody did anything without his say so.
Well, he was the head of the Buffalino crime family.
Was he the head? Because I thought Keitel was the head of the
crime
family.
I think he was the head.
Oh, wow.
Who do you think it was?
Harvey Keitel. In the beginning, Harvey Keitel was like the, I thought he was the mob boss.
I don't know. Maybe that's, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do.
Watch it.
Rewatch it to find out.
Ray Romano's in this as well. He plays the mob. He's like his cousin, Joe Pesci's cousin. He plays the mob. Not the mob, the union lawyer.
The union lawyer. Teamster's lawyer.
Bobby Cannavale is in this. He plays a low-level mobster guy who runs a restaurant, has his restaurant.
It's a who's who of...
Yeah.
Italian
yeah.
actors, you know, Italian American actors.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But yeah, it's really good. Irishman's really good. Maybe give yourself two sittings for it. But definitely check it out. It's on Netflix.
And if you're expecting any kind of wow ending, don't.
Yeah.
It is just.
Yeah.
It is just. And I think that's by design.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like a. I didn't get the same impact, mm-hmm. so when I make this comparison, I don't feel the same impact, but in a lot of ways, it was kind of like the No Country for Old Men type of ending, where they're basically trying to show that the stuff that gets done behind closed doors is not as impactful as one might think, and that, you know, it all comes down to just you there alone in the end.
Mm.
And, but yeah, it was very much just kind of ended, and I was like, oh, okay, that's it, huh? All right, got it.
Nice.
Got it.
That'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. See Knives Out. Check out the report on Amazon Prime, and check out The Irishman on Netflix.
When you have time.
When you have
time.
When
I say when you have time, it's when you can have a whole half day to watching a single movie.
Our next episode, Dark Waters, comes out this weekend. I'm seeing that, and then Jumanji's next week.
Danger in the Jungle.
Jumanji, and then Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker. I'm actually doing a double header, not the night we're going, but I'm seeing it the next day with Mia, and we're doing a double header because they released tickets for Bombshell. Which I can't wait for. That looks great.
It does look great. I'm not gonna rush out to get tickets or anything.
Well, I mean, I'm like, we're already gonna be there, and the times lined up exactly.
Only Doug, ladies and gentlemen, says like, we're already gonna be at the movie, so might as well see another movie. That's what you do. It's just you're already there. You see another movie.
Fuck you. We'll see you next time.
So that is the same weekend as fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Why would you want to open up against that? I don't know.
Well, but they're running out of time.
When else are you running out of time?
They got to open before Christmas. Yeah. That'll do it, folks. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.